Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight, I want to just take a few minutes and talk about, in my heart, as I'm sitting here in the auditorium, I'm just feeling that where we need to head in terms of the altar and our time of seeking the Lord is that there are people here tonight, and God has put things in your heart regarding your future, but it hasn't happened yet. And now you find yourself wondering if it will. That there's things that you at one time were sure God was going to do, but now time has passed, obstacles have arisen, and you're wondering now, you're beginning to doubt whether you heard from God, and the obstacles look real big that are in your path, and you just find yourself in that place where you're saying, is it really going to happen, or was it really God? I was thinking of the story in Numbers chapter 13. We'll bring it up here on the screen. Now the Lord said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. So they've made their way out of Egypt. Moses has told them, hey, listen, God's going to give you the land of Canaan. It's yours. And so now they've been on this journey. They've seen miracles along the way. And now they're within striking distance of being able to enter the land. And Moses sends 12 leaders out of the people. What's interesting is these were highly respected leaders. They were leaders of thousands. They were leaders who had seen miracles. They had been in God's presence. In fact, so much had they been in God's presence that not only had they heard the voice of God when he spoke the Ten Commandments, but when you read in Exodus chapter 24 and verses 9 through 11, they saw the God of Israel up on Mount Sinai, and they ate a meal in his presence. It's very, very interesting. So these are people who have had some experiences. But the fact that you and I have had an experience doesn't mean that we have faith. You can have sat in the presence of God. You can have watched God do things in your life and in the lives of other people and not have the faith to believe him to take you into your destiny. It's very, very interesting to consider that in the lives of these spies. So Numbers chapter 13, we pick it up. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. So the sons of Anak, we read about them later in the Bible. Goliath descended from them. So Goliath was over 9 feet tall. So these are very tall individuals, and probably the average Israelite is probably 5.5 feet tall. So, I mean, you're talking people that were twice as tall as they were. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and they were a very warlike tribe. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. And if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you find that God says, hey, I'm taking you to a land, and there are seven nations there, and they are stronger, and they're more powerful than you are. So this is kind of a description. They're saying, hey, those nations are there, and they're giants, and they've got cities. It says the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other man who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. The people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. So here, God has given them a promise. God has told them what he wants them to do. They've seen miracles. They've seen the Red Sea parted. They've drank water from a rock. They've heard the voice of God. They've eaten in the presence of God. But all of a sudden, they can't believe God to take them in to the place that he's promised to give them. Which says something about the fact that we can hang out in the presence of the Lord. We can watch God do amazing things. But sooner or later, what has to happen in our life is we have to decide. People can believe with us, but nobody can do all the believing for us if we're going to see what God wants to do in our life. We have to step out. We have to at some point say, I believe God. I believe he's good. I believe he's faithful. I believe he's powerful. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but it doesn't matter what I know. It doesn't matter what I understand. What matters is God said it, and I'm going to trust him to do it, even if I can't see the way. And to speak that faith-filled word. I mean, this is what Caleb does. Caleb says, hey, time out. Don't discourage people. Because you know what happened? The spies get up. They discourage 10 of them, spread a bad report. And watch what happens to the people around them. In Numbers chapter 14, the whole community began weeping aloud. They cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in the wilderness, or in Egypt, or even in the wilderness. And they're saying, listen, there's no way we can make it. The spies say that, and now people around them have no faith to believe. Listen, the words you and I speak, the attitude that we embrace, the faith by which we live, not only affects what we end up experiencing personally, but it affects the faith of people around us. You may be facing a big battle tonight. In your moms and dads, speak words of faith. Speak words of faith regarding your situation. Don't tear people down who are around you with the words of doubt. Here's Caleb. Caleb speaks this word of faith, and I mean, he saw the same things that everybody else saw. But Caleb is going to speak these words of faith. And it's very, very interesting. You read it in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. Here's what God says. God says to the people, listen, you don't believe me. You don't think I can take you into the land. Therefore, you're not going to go into the land. See, it'd be wrong to assume, well, if God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, God wanted them in the land, but they didn't believe the promise of God, so they didn't go into the land. God can want a lot of things for your life and my life that we'll never experience if we don't believe him to do it. And we have to be careful that we don't give voice to doubt. Doubt dies if left unexpressed. Faith, to speak words of faith, even if we can't understand how it could happen, not only encourages our heart, but it encourages the hearts of people around us. Here's Caleb. Here's what God said about Caleb. He said, okay, nobody else is going to enter the land except Joshua and Caleb and anybody under the age of 20. But because of my servant Caleb, he has a different spirit and he follows me wholeheartedly. It's very interesing. Ruha is the word translated for spirit, and what it means, he has a different feeling, a different frame of mind. What is it that Caleb believes? He believes that God is going to help him. Earlier in the chapter, it says this, if the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land. He'll give it to us, and the Lord is with us. I mean, when you look at that, think of it. Do you believe that God is pleased with you? There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that God is leading you, even if you can't see it? Do you believe that God is leading, that the steps of a righteous person are ordered to the Lord, and he delights in every detail of their life? I love that. God delights in the details. Do you believe that God is going to make happen the thing that you can't even believe will happen? I remember when we were pioneering a church in Kansas City, and at that point, we had been going about 6 months, and we had 8 people is about what we had. And 5 of them were Lindells, so, I mean, David, Brandon, and Savannah were 4, 3, and 2, so, I mean, it wasn't like they were big givers or real great ministry workers or that kind of thing. I mean, they're not able to help us set up. So, I mean, I'm setting up the gym, and people would drive through the drive lane. They'd come in the drive lane of the school. They'd drive by. They wouldn't see any cars. I would tell everybody to bring every car they had and park it in the parking lot. I would, because I was like, you know, we got to get some critical mass there. So, you know, I go to a church planting seminar, and it was at Central Bible College, and which I'd gone to school there. And so I'm sitting there listening to the things they're talking about, and you know, they're telling, they've got different speakers, which is really what you want. You want guys that are and people that are telling great stories that encourage your faith. But they're telling these stories, and I mean, my story isn't like anybody's story. My story is, we called 20,000 people. We invited them to church. 1,200 said they were coming. We figured 400 would come, and 3 came. And so that's kind of how it worked. And I'd been out knocking on doors that winter. I knocked on 900 doors. And I mean, we didn't get one person out of that. So we invited our neighbors, and nothing was, you know, I'm teaching a Wednesday night study, because they're saying, well, do something in your house. And so we got this duplex, and David, Brandon, Savannah, Debbie's kind of keeping them quiet. And there's a little widow lady who's coming. And you know, I don't know what possessed me to do it, but that was my first shot at teaching Romans. And so I'm teaching the book of Romans, and she's sitting across from me, and she's shaking her head because she doesn't agree with me doctrinally. So, I mean, so it's pretty sad. I mean, it's sad. So I go in the chapel, one of the dorm chapels, one of the dorms I'd lived in, and knew where the chapel was, and it was where I'd always gone and had my devotions, and so I'd had some really great times in the presence of the Lord, and I'm sitting in there, and as I'm sitting in there, and I'm just, you know, just trying to process what's happening, and thinking, wow, you know, this, it's not going well, and you're hearing all these stories, and you're thinking, boy, I just don't know what's going to happen, and the Lord speaks to my heart, and the Lord said, I have it written down, so I can prove that the Lord spoke to my heart. In 3 years, you'll be pastoring 1,000 people, and you will speak in this chapel and tell your story. Now, that's when you have 8 people. And I remember writing it down and thinking, that's crazy. That will never happen. There's giants in the land. I mean, I got this widow lady, and she's 9 feet tall, and you know, but I'm just thinking, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And then I got a hold of myself, and I said, you know, that was my first response, because it just seemed absolutely impossible. But I knew God had spoken it, and I couldn't understand it. I wrote it down, and I would look at it every now and then and say, God, I don't understand how that's going to happen, but I know you're the God who does amazing things. That's a different frame of mind. To say, I don't understand it, I can't see it, but I know you're a good God, and I know you're a God who does miraculous, amazing things. Caleb had that kind of spirit. He had that ruha. He had a frame of mind that said, you know what? I'm not denying there are problems. I'm not denying there are giants. I'm not denying there are standing armies. I'm not denying that. What I find so interesting is, bring that statement up again, he doesn't spend his time talking, no, the one in verses 7-8, thank you. He doesn't spend his time talking about the giants. He says, he's talking about the Lord. If the Lord's pleased, the Lord's going to lead us, the Lord's going to give it to us, and the Lord is with us. What is it that fills your mind? What is it that you talk about? Do you talk about the problem, or do you talk about the God who's able to defeat the enemy? Do you talk about the problem, or do you talk about the God who's going to give you victory? Do you talk about what you're up against, or do you talk about the God who loves you so much, who's got you on a journey, who's leading you, who is able to do what he says he's going to do? This is Caleb. That's what it means to have a different kind of spirit. The kind of spirit that says, I believe God. I'm going to talk about God. I'm going to know God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? That's the kind of different spirit. And then he says this. The next thing that we read about Caleb in verse 24 is this. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit, and he follows me wholeheartedly. He fully pursues me. It's what he's about. It's what he cares about. He cares about capturing a city if that's a city God has called him to capture. He cares about spying out the land if that's the land God has called him to spy out. He cares about what God cares about. He cares about the purpose of God. He cares about the people of God. He cares about the name of God, the glory of God. This is a man who has possessed his top priority, not on just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but all the time is, God, I'm all about you. And God looks and says, that's the kind of person I want to help, I will help, and I can help. And so I'm going to ask musicians to come. I want to ask you this. Where are you at tonight? What is it that God is speaking to your heart? What is it that God has called you to do? Do you have a different frame of mind? Do you have the kind of frame of mind that says, you know what? I know God is for me. I know God is with me. I know God will lead me. And it doesn't matter what obstacles in the way. God can blow those out of the way. Give me victory to cut through them, to go over them, to go around them. God will get me where he wants me to go because he's God. Do you have that wholehearted pursuit where God is the delight of your life, the passion? He's why you get up in the morning. He's why you do, which I'm not talking about perfect, but I'm saying all things being equal, God wins every single tie. He just wins every tie. See, here's the problem is that when we don't have that wholehearted devotion, a half-hearted faith is either a very weak faith or it's no faith at all. I mean, in James, it says this in James chapter 1, but when you ask him, and this is asking God for wisdom, when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. In other words, don't have a divided faith. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as the wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Now watch this. This is startling. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's really strong. Is God a generous giver of wisdom? Yes. Does God want to generously give you wisdom? Yes. But even though God is generous in the giving of wisdom, God wants to give you wisdom. If when you ask, you're divided in your heart, and you're like, man, I need wisdom. I hope God will give it. Man, I don't know. We'll see. Forget it. You get nothing. That's shocking. In other words, what God's calling us for is God's calling us to an undivided loyalty and a wholehearted pursuit that says, listen, I understand I either have to be in or out, and I'm in. I'm in. I'm pursuing God, and I've got the frame of mind that says, God is with me, God is for me. God will lead me. And I can't wait to see what he does, because whether I understand how he's going to do it or not has nothing to do with whether it gets done. So tonight, there are some of you, and you know, as I'm talking, you know this is for you. You know it is. You know what I'm talking about, and God's saying, that's you, that's you. And I'm just saying, you know what? A great way to just say, God, I'm all in, is to just come into the altar and say, God, here I am. I am all in. I'm ready. I'm believing you. I'm trusting you. It doesn't matter what I understand or don't understand. Doesn't matter what I see or don't see. Doesn't matter if there's giants. Doesn't matter if there's hostile armies. It doesn't matter. I know you love me. I know you're leading me. I know you're for me. And I know you will give it to me, that you will place me in the place you want me to go. And when God sees that, God says, I like that. I like that. I like that spirit. I like that wholehearted pursuit of me. And I'm going to go before that person and help them. So tonight, if that resonates with you, come into the altar. Tell him you're all in. See what he'll do. I think he'll do something pretty amazing.